Well, good morning again. Glad that you have decided to spend your Sunday morning worshiping with us here at Wylie Methodist. If you are a visitor this morning, especially a first-time visitor, there is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We invite you to fill that out. You don't have to, but we'd love to know you were here. You can fill that out, and if you'd like to be added to our email list, you can put your email. Also, if you put your email and you want to be added to the email list, check the box, because I don't know if you're just giving us that information or if you actually want to be on the list. So feel free to fill that out, and you can just leave it in your seat pocket there or in the seat cushion there when you leave. Jimmy, glad you're here, brother. Jimmy lost his son a week ago today, and the memorial service for James is this afternoon at 3 right here in the church. So it's good that you're here with the family that loves you. We love you, brother. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, we've spent, this will be our fourth week in Philippians. We'll be finishing that up today. But we've talked about how this letter was written by the Apostle Paul. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. And if I could give the theme of the letter, it's joy. Rejoicing and joy. And we've seen that just all throughout this letter. And it begins, and we're going to pick it up in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And so Paul's been doing a lot of talking about rejoicing. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, he doesn't say rejoice when your circumstances are going well. He doesn't say rejoice if you feel like it. It doesn't say rejoice sometimes. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Nobody in here ever gets anxious about anything, right? I didn't think so. It's probably just me. This is probably just for me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. There's a man who is comfortable in his walk with the Lord. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Hello. Anybody listening? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. Father, nobody needs to hear from me today. We need to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, speak. Speak to us in power and authority. Change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, I'm concluding the sermon series today of Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't worry, be happy. And the first week we did this, I played a little bit of the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, written and performed in 89, I believe it was, number one record of the year. If you're my age or older, you remember that because they played it all the time. Don't worry, be happy. The secret of being content. The secret of being content. Now, I want to show you a little short little video clip here. Now, I talked about this last week, and I've talked about it before. Dadgummit, guys, it's okay to laugh in church. God's not going to zap us. Did you know that? He's not going to zap us if we have fun in church. He's just not. One of the things, everybody thinks that I'm a little bit unstable when it comes to that, and they most that could be confirmed by my family, by the way. But during vacation Bible school every year, I always do something goofy for just to be goofy with the kids. And I was really just grieved that I didn't get to do that this year because I was at school. But I do that for a purpose, and it's not just because I like being goofy, although I do like being goofy. But I want the kids to know it's okay to be a Christian and have fun. That being a Christian is joyful. We should be the most joyful people in the whole world, and we should laugh. We should laugh. Nobody is attracted to a freeze-dried Christian. You know any freeze-dried Christians? So I want to show you this little clip. It's just a couple of minutes here. I ran across this a while back. This is it's a comedy. It's kind of like, remember Hee Haw? Anybody remember? It's kind of a Hee Haw kind of thing. It's in Tennessee, and it's called the Comedy Barn, and they just do silly things, and they bring people up from the audience, and they just do all these silly things and make people laugh. And so I ran across this, and the guy doing the skit at this comedy barn, he's brought three volunteers up on the stage, and he has them sitting in, and he's going to do something with them. And so he's talking to the guy has a red shirt. He's talking to the one on his left when we start out. Watch what happens. Go ahead and play. The quality's not real great on this, but go ahead and watch it.
Thank you, Bill. You just watch it get built. No kidding. Man, that's a government job right there, isn't it? Who else get it? What's your job? I watch tanks get built. You just watch it. What's the most common problem with a tank? It's wore out. What about while it's getting built? Where you're supposed to watch for problems. You said what? What about?
Yo.
Folks, this show may be over.
All right, that's enough, Lee. That's about a 10-minute clip, and he does that for 10 minutes. And the guy can't go on. There's been 26.5 million views on that on YouTube. Now, laughing is therapeutic. I dare you to pull that up on YouTube and watch it for 10 minutes. I dare you to not get happy. I dare you to not have fun watching that. I was like, man, this guy, is this for real? I actually did a little research on that guy, and it turns out his parents laughed like that. Their siblings laughed like that, and his daughter talks about how, yeah, that's dad just laughs like that. Contentment, Paul tells us, is learned. It's not something that comes instinctive to us. It's not joy Rejoicing contentment. It's not something that just like, hey, I'm just going to be joyful. It is learned, Paul says. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And what, here's one of the things that we don't really like this piece of the equation, but many times that learning comes through trials, doesn't it? We learn that the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that God is with us even in our deepest, darkest moments in life when we press into Him. So let's talk about some things that we learn from this scripture about being content. The secret of being content is to give God the sacrifice of praise. Now that word is important. That word sacrifice is important. It means it costs us something sometimes to give praise. We have it is an intentional, learned response. We are intentional about sacrificing our sacrifice of praise. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now in Hebrews, we hear this in 13:15 Hebrews. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Now, what we need to understand about praise is spiritual warfare. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. Praise is spiritual warfare. We are taking the fight to the enemy. What the enemy wants in us, the enemy wants us to be downcast. He wants us to be woe is me. He wants us to be freeze-dried Christians. He wants us to be joy suckers. He wants us to just literally just sap the joy right out of us. And that, as I've said, there is nothing about that is attractive. If we are, you ever just run into people and it's like how the mistake sometimes we make is how you doing, and we just, you know, our life may be falling apart and we just go, hey, I'm good, you know, but that's just kind of our face that we put on our mask. But have you ever run into those people, it's like, well, my dog died and, you know, lost my job and don't have any money. And I mean, it's just always, no matter what's going on in life, the glass is always half empty. How many of you like being around those kind of folks? We don't. There's nothing attractive about that. Sacrifice of praise. And that there is a spiritual warfare that is happening through praise. Now, I just want to tell you that I know that there are medical things that can cause depression. I'm aware of that. I'm not saying that that's not valid. But sometimes we just allow the spirit of sadness to come over us. And I'm just telling you that there is to give the sacrifice of praise. You, just like I said, even watching that man laugh will bring joy to us. And proclaiming who Christ is and what He's done for us, praising His holy name, will bring joy to us. Second thing, the secret of being content is to pray, pray, and then pray. Fight for the joy. Fight for it. We've talked about that the very first week of this series, is that joy is a choice. We can choose to be joyful, or we can choose to let our circumstances overwhelm us. Pray. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, no matter what life throws at us. He's saying, don't be anxious about that, but instead turn it to prayer in everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I thought of this example a while back, but when we pray and we know that God loves us and we know that He wants good things for us, no matter what's going on in our life, it's like, for instance, I know some of y'all won't relate to this, I'm sorry if it doesn't mean anything to you, but it's like I like the Cowboys. Bad week to like the Cowboys. It's bad few years to like the Cowboys, but anyway, and I like to, sometimes if I'm not able to hit the game, God created DVR. Did you know God created DVR? And so I DVR the game, and I'm thinking, I'll watch it later. And sometimes, you know, you're out and you're about, and you hear the results of the game before you wanted to. And I don't freak out about that. I just enjoy watching the game even if I know. But there's something different about watching the game when I know what's going to happen. It's like if I know they won, I can, Romo can throw 19 interceptions along the way, and I'm watching it, and I don't care. I already know they won. That's how it is with God. When we have faith in God, it's like our life can give us 19 interceptions. But I know how God feels about me. I know how this ends. So I'm not anxious about that. I'm just going to let the Lord take me for this ride. We're just going to go through it together because I know how it ends. Cast all your anxiety upon Him. Peter said this, because He cares for you. Third thing, the secret of being content is the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm not saying that that Christ isn't involved in that. That all just think good thoughts, and you know all these positive waves are going to just start pouring into you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, don't dwell on the trial. Celebrate the victory. Celebrate who you are and how Christ feels about you. Think about positive things. And I'll just tell you, I meant to mention this earlier. We're having an all-church meeting. Y'all, I've notified you of that. We're having an all-church meeting right after church today to talk about, some difficult things going on in our denomination. And I want you to know what's going on. I want you to know where I stand. And I want you to know that our church is okay. But in the midst of that, man, we can get sucked in. And I mean, you just turn on the news and look at the paper in our world. It's just chaos everywhere, isn't it? Am I the only one noticing this? It's just, I mean, for goodness sake, I just like, what? Are you serious? That's happening? It's just on and on and on. And if we, and I have to guard myself against getting sucked into that vortex of just bad news. Paul is saying, whatever is true, what is true? God is on the throne. That's what's true. He's on the throne. And He has proven His love for us through Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross for us. That's true. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about those things. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. You want to know how to do it? Think about those things. Think about those things that are true. It doesn't mean to put our head in the sand and not know what's going on in our world and not be involved and engaged. But it's saying, don't dwell. Don't let it suck you in to where we become an angry Christian. You ever met an angry Christian? I have. And it's awful. Like I said, no one is attracted to that. Hey, I hate everybody. By the way, you want me to tell you about Jesus? I mean, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. If our demeanor, if when we walk in the room and people are like, holy cow, that's an angry man. That's an angry man. And then we got a fish on our car. I used to have a pickup that had a scripture on the back glass. And it said, I'm a life that was changed, and it quoted a scripture. And when I was intentionally, as I drove around town, I'm thinking, am I matching my window? The way I'm driving, the way I'm treating people, do I match my window? So I guess that's the question for us. Are we a positive thinking Christian that will draw people to us where we can point them to Christ? Or are we angry? Happiness is the result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right things. It's a habit. It's an intentionality to it. The things we place in our mind, I want you to think about that a little bit. What are you placing into your mind and into your heart? Because, I mean, if we're going places on the internet, we don't need to be going. I mean, I've said this before, but back in my old computer programming days, they taught us garbage in, garbage out. You write a bad program, you get bad results. You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out of our lives. Happiness is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the right things. Unhappiness is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things. So, Paul said, whatever's true. Think about those things, whatever's true. So I've listed some in your handout you can have there to the scriptures that tie this. There's so many other things that I didn't list. I just took some key ones here. The answer to what is true. I know that God loves me. He loves you. I mean, that's important, church, for us to know that, not just about ourselves, but to know that to share with other people. Because, you know, a lot of people don't feel worthy of anyone's love, their own love, and certainly not God's love. But God says he loves it, and he says he's proved it by laying down his life for us. Secondly, I know that God is with me. God's word says he will never leave us or forsake us. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to be with us. I know that God will work things together for my good. Romans 8, I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Now, I want to say real quick, when someone's had when people have had tragedy, they've had loss, we want to fix it. Don't quote that scripture to people that have just had a tragic loss. You know, I've had a person killed in a car wreck or something, and you come up and you're, all things God works are good, all things, you know, don't quote that scripture. It is true, but that's not the time to start sharing it to people. But no matter what comes our way, God does work it to the good. God does work it to the good. Was visiting with a friend of mine just this morning, and something happened in his family, a home in his family, family's house, and there was segments of the house that brought to mind the tragedy that had happened for this family. And a little while later, a year or so later, a few months later, those pieces of that home were burned. They were burned. And a fire, you know, you never think a house fire is a good thing, but it was burned, and those things had, and those areas of the house had to be torn down and rebuilt. And now there's not those reminders. It's like, golly, you know, God, even in the midst of all of this, God's still at work, and God still wants to bless us, and God is still trying to make things right and make things good for those who love him. And finally, I know that I'm a child of God. How great is the love of the Father that he's lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Do we understand how big that is? I've used this, I've said it this way before, that I picture myself in a whole bunch of other people in this big orphanages, and there's just orphanage, and there's beds, and there's rows and rows and rows of kids, and God is walking down the road, and he comes to me, and he comes to you, and he says, I choose that one. He adopts us into his family. We are children of God because he's chosen us. And that's outstanding, church. That's outstanding. We know that to be true, that he has chosen us. Fourth thing, contentment. When we fight for joy, we fight for rejoicing, and we fight for this contentment in our life, it has fruit. It results in God's incomprehensible peace. I want to read that passage again. In everything, by prayer, he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests of God. There's the task before us. So don't be anxious, pray. with thanksgiving. That's the task before us. But then the promise is, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. So the task is to don't be anxious, just pray, trust God. The fruit is peace. I was visiting with a man. I've shared this before, but it's been a while. I was visiting with a man a few years ago in the hospital, and he had terminal cancer, and it was one of those deals where he knew time was short, and I'm not sure he was quite where he needed to be with the Lord, and there was people, you know, nurses were buzzing in and out, and family was in and out, and everybody left, and it was me and him in the room, and God just gave us a little 15-minute window there where we weren't being bothered, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he kind of gave me one of those, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "No, really. Are you okay?" And he, tears started welling up his eyes, and I said, "Are you afraid?" And he said, "Yes, I'm afraid." He was afraid of dying. And I said to him, "You know, I could get hit by a car leaving the hospital out in the parking lot, and my time could be today as well." And I said, "You know what I would say when I got face to face with the good Lord?" And he said, "No, what would you say?" And I said, "I would tell him, check your book. My name's in your book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Check it. It's there." And it ended up leading us basically where he accepted Christ, right there in the hospital room. And you could physically see a transformation in his spirit. You could physically see just the peace fall over him. And a few months, he actually lived a few more months, but he went to be with the Lord a few months later. And I, over those next few months, as I would go visit with him, I would see a difference in him. He didn't seem anxious at all. He seemed totally at peace. Joy and contentment is not the result of pleasant circumstances, but rather our attitude towards Christ, how we relate to Christ. We have a choice to be thankful. We have a choice to serve others, to put Christ first in our life. So how are we doing, church? How are we doing with that, with this whole choice of joy? It's just for you to kind of ask yourself, how are we doing? Are we choosing joy? Are we fighting for contentment and rejoicing in our lives? If you would, just bow your heads with me this morning. I just want you to kind of ask this question in your heart, in your mind. What blessings do I have to celebrate this morning? Father, we thank you that you love us. You've proven that through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that we are your children. Father, well up joy in our hearts. Just well it up, Father. May we ooze the joy of your Holy Spirit on a world that desperately needs that joy. Teach us how to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As the praise team comes up to close this morning with our closing song, just if you want to come up and pray with me, if you want to come to the altar and pray, I'd be happy for you to do that. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, man, I love introducing people to him. I love introducing people to him. So today would be a great day. I want to just tell you also at the close of the service, I'll give about a 5 minute or so time for people to take a restroom break, and then we'll come back and meet in here for our meeting. Anyone is welcome to come and be a part of that. So let's stand as we close.
Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come and see, come and live forever. Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come and live.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Look at somebody and say, rejoice.
Rejoice.
All right, go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.